When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Court of the Trashy Royals, where we assemble each week to reveal and revel in the tales of our betters behaving badly. My name is Stacy.
Hey friends, Alicia here. Thank you for joining us for today's episode as we move our Trashy Royals journey over to Denmark this week with so many naughty nobles. We're going through a little over 200 years here from Frederick the VII to Frederick the X. Not exactly every bit, but most certainly the trashy bits. So much scandal. It's not only England, darlings. Royals have always been trashy. Whatever time, whatever country.
Yeah, we're definitely not doing a minute-by-minute play, because that would take over 200 years. We're going to save you some time.
Just the big bits about there is no really such thing as a civilized past. Before we begin today's Trashy Royals adventure, we do have a few fine and good nobles to thank this week, our very newest Patreon supporters.
Big love and thanks to Leanna, Marianne H., and Jelena S. And if I have mispronounced your name, please let us know, and I'll fix it later.
Yeah, we'll get it right. We promise, we promise. We appreciate each one of you. Thank you, new and all of our sustaining Patreon community. So easy, this one. If you like what we're doing here, $2 a month will get you your own very private Trashy Royals feed as soon as we finish them. They are delivered to you not only early, but ad-free.
To learn more, visit patreon.com/trashyroyalspodcast. And for now, Alicia, let us anon.
For a journey to Denmark. I'm starting with Freddy the VII. You're taken over by Freddy the X. So many other trashy places in between.
To Copenhagen.
Oh my, Denmark. We've been in England. We've been around. We're really switching countries. I gotta give a shout out to Denmark, one of the happiest countries in the world, where there are more bicycles than cars. Denmark is made up of 444 islands, only which 76 are actually inhabited. Denmark is home to 5 national parks. It was home of the very first amusement park as well. Built in the 16th century. Danes doing it right.
Yeah.
Danes big into troll folklore.
Sure.
And unusual traditions. I think we have to add Denmark to our travel list, Stacy.
No, it does seem great. Yeah, apparently the harbor in Copenhagen is amazing.
It's so clean you can swim in it. Denmark just sounds fantastic.
But for like 2 months out of the year, probably.
Let me tell you, the Danish royal family is one of the oldest, dating all the way back to the 8th century. I'm going to say that was begun by Queen Margaret I. However, a little bit of a dispute about Queen. It's a lot like Empress Matilda. Queen Margaret certainly unified a number of different realms, but technically wasn't queen, but she was kind of the first woman to have that much power in European history.
Yeah, I read something like she ruled as a queen but was never crowned, something along those lines.
So I'm not going to get too technical about it. That was all the way back in the 8th century. Today for our story, we're going way, way, way down the road into the future, many generations later, to begin our trip with Frederick Carl Christian, to be known in history as King Frederick the VII of Denmark. Freddy Carl Christian, goodness, of Denmark, was born on October 6th, 1808, Libra man. His father was King Christian VIII, and his mother was Duchess Charlotte Frederica of Mecklenburg-Schwerin. When little Frederick Carl was still an infant, listen to this, his mother was accused of adultery. And King Christian VIII divorced his mom. Mom banished from the Danish court, and Frederick never saw his mother again.
Wow.
So not great. Maybe, not surprisingly, Frederick's upbringing was done primarily by governesses, tutors, relatives. Not only does he not see his mom after she's kicked out of the Danish court, he rarely sees his father as well. The thing about Freddie VII that you want to know is he will be the last king of Denmark to rule as an absolute monarch. Frederick VII is the one who signed a constitution establishing a Danish parliament and making the country into a constitutional monarchy, no longer an absolute monarchy.
Modernizing.
A little bit.
As it were. Yeah,
yeah, in the middle of the 1800s. The thing with Freddie VII, though, when he was still crown prince of Denmark, he had two failed marriages, and that's where we're going to begin today. Young love. Old Frederick, he got betrothed just before his 18th birthday. The bride-to-be was his second cousin, Princess Wilhelmina Marie of Denmark. Both were descendants of King Frederick V of Denmark. And I think you were telling me this, in Denmark, we switch names between Frederick and Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only two king names that are...
Yeah, the male line.
...gonna happen, and they kind of alternate back and forth.
And actually, the ruling queens have all been Margaret or Margrethe.
Really interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, so here's Freddie, here's Wilhelmina. Now, Princess Wilhelmina, no joke, she had several marital prospects, including future King Oscar I of Sweden. But it was decided by they, for her, Wilhelmina, that an internal Danish marriage was best for the dynasty. What is going to happen with the marriage of Frederick and Wilhelmina? They'll unite two branches of the Danish royal family, which had previously been strained. Little bit of a complication here. Neither Frederick nor Wilhelmina wanted to marry the other.
Everybody was just like, hey, nothing like a big wedding to bring everybody together. And they're like, we don't really want to do this.
Frederick and Wilhelmina not into it. Okay. But once the betrothal is secured and announced, the actual wedding doesn't happen for nearly 2 years.
Hmm.
Frederick is sent on an educational trip to Sweden and France and Italy in order for him to grow up a little bit, gain some experience, learn from other cultures.
Sow some oats.
Probably. When Frederick returns, he and Wilhelmina were married November the 1st, 1828, in Copenhagen. Huge celebration in Denmark. The people, all really happy about the marriage of these two Danish royal family members. I need to let you know that the wedding was the highlight of that marriage.
Okay.
Only goes downhill from there.
Mm-hmm. This happens.
What are the obstacles for these two, Frederick and Wilhelmina, finding marital bliss? Well, first of all, neither of them loved the other or wanted to be married to the other.
Sure.
So that's something. But if that wasn't enough, I need to let you know that Freddie VII was an all-around, completely unlikable guy. Bad guy, worse husband material. He's kind of the whole package of terrible.
Okay.
Freddie is a notoriously heavy drinker. Freddie also is really fond of having sex with women other than his wife.
That is not helpful for marital bliss.
So a heavy drinking philanderer.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, it was written that Wilhelmina, because who are we going to blame it on? It's Wilhelmina's problem. She has a weak character, and she was unable to be a good influence on her husband's debauchery. It was also reported that Frederick deeply hurt Wilhelmina's, quote-unquote, female feelings.
Female feelings. I mean, yes, I'm sure that endless cycles of drinking and philandering would hurt her female feelings.
Okay, so another problem that we find with couples, you get married for a reason. What's that reason?
Need an heir.
You do need an heir. So there's a lot of pressure, as often the case in many royal marriages, to produce an heir. This marriage was, unsurprisingly, childless. Eventually, the couple will separate in 1834.
That's a quick marriage. 6 years, royal standards.
They legally won't divorce until 1837, making them right at about 9 years. But
right.
They're Splitsville after six. Do have a little bit of good news here for Wilhelmina. She gets married again in 1838. And this time, marriage number two for her, totally happy. Her second husband, because, I mean, just go to the family tree, really. Her second husband was her first cousin. This is, bless my little heart, pronunciation heart, Carl, the Duke of Schleswig-Holstein-Sonderburg-Glucksburg.
Okay.
Think that's right. Wilhelmina and Carl, that marriage was also childless. And now it becomes believed that Wilhelmina was unable to bear children. There were never any reports of her having stillbirths or miscarriages. Wilhelmina, though, happy, getting away from Frederick.
Yeah.
Frederick, on the other hand, divorces Wilhelmina, finally, and is going to go on to have a second marriage. That one is just as unhappy.
I'm thinking the problem may be Frederick.
The problem is definitely Frederick. We found the problem.
Mm-hmm.
As crown prince, Frederick needed to marry again and legit get around to the business of producing an heir.
Mm-hmm.
It's time.
Yeah.
Frederick thought he had found the very perfect candidate in Caroline Marianne of Mecklenburg-Strelitz. Caroline was a German princess, but a little bit of a twist, she'd been educated by a Danish poet. Doesn't that sound dreamy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Caroline. Frederick was 33 at this time. Caroline was 20. Caroline was happy to accept the future king's proposal, and these two lovebirds get married June the 10th, 1841, in the Grand Duchy of Mecklenburg-Strelitz. The newlyweds arrive in Copenhagen a few weeks later. They receive an enthusiastic welcome. In Denmark, Caroline is always called Princess Marianne. Despite the very hopeful beginning, it would soon become obvious that the wedding and arrival in Denmark was the highlight of this marriage.
Oh, man.
And it was all downhill from here.
Freddie.
Caroline Marianne, our 20-year-old bride, just imagine, in a foreign country, understandably shy, a little nervous. Frederick, her new husband, his rowdy personality and lifestyle, along with his shameless womanizing and excessive drinking, really no wonder, puts a great deal of strain on the marriage. Caroline Marianne spends really a few miserable years in Denmark with Frederick. The two produce no children. The young princess, here's the best part, may have been a little shy, a little nervous, a little undercover, but Caroline Marianne is making an exit plan.
Mm.
Uh-huh. She's kind of packing a go bag.
Sure. Mecklenburger bust.
Kind of. 3 years after the marriage, they marry 1841 and 1844. Caroline Marianne is going to arrange a visit to see her parents in Mecklenburg-Strelitz. And once she was there,
oh,
Caroline Marianne just refuses to go back to Denmark.
The carriage wheel broke. I shall be waylaid forever.
Her parents don't fight this decision.
Yeah.
Parents are like, got a bedroom in the back, kid.
Yeah.
We need some help with the goats.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yes, I'm sure that her royal parents,
I don't know,
totally had goat issues for her to address.
They're not upset that she's staying. They don't fight Caroline staying there. But it would take little Caroline a while before the marriage was dissolved. This divorce is finalized September 30th, 1846.
Yikes.
5 years in.
Wow.
Now, Frederick doesn't really mind being a two-time divorcee because Frederick had found himself his new favorite mistress, Louise Rasmussen. But for the reason of divorce, of course, who gets the blame? Caroline Marianne.
Of course.
The divorce documents read, the divorce was due to the inherited morbidity and broken health of the princess. Caroline Marianne just doesn't want to be married to Frederick.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
just
yeah.
Like wife number one.
Yeah, I'm going home to mother. Bye.
Just like wife number one, Caroline Marianne, her future after divorcing Frederick turns great, just like Wilhelmina's did. Caroline Marianne retained her Danish titles after her divorce, but remained in her hometown because of the goats, probably.
Probably.
No, I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. Her parents built her the Caroline Palais, her own Caroline Palace.
Do you think it was because in Denmark, nobody could remember her name, and so they just called her Marianne?
Don't know. She gets her own palace, Caroline Palace. I'd love an Alicia Palace.
But, I mean, they wrote her name on it,
Caroline
so
Palace
no one would forget.
In 1850, and Caroline lives there quietly without remarrying the rest of her life.
Okay.
Understandably, Caroline rarely speaks of Frederick or the 5 years she was married to him. Mm-hmm. The only exception that Caroline makes to this is when Danish visitors once come to Mecklenburg-Strelitz and upon seeing the princess ask her about Frederick. She reportedly said, he was much too bizarre. Since Frederick's second wife bore no children, no reported pregnancies at all, it's now suspected that Frederick perhaps himself was infertile. But because Caroline Marianne never remarried, it's impossible to say if she would have gone on to have children after the divorce. So we have Frederick, Crown Prince, two wives, up and out, still no heir to the throne. Oh no, what is a Crown Prince to do? We are going to take a quick break here and come back with all of his affairs, so many illegitimate children, and a morganatic third marriage.
Love those. We'll be right back.
Hey, all you true crime fans. This is Mike Ferguson.
And this is Mike Morf.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast, Criminology.
Launched in 2017, we've covered a variety of strange cases from murders to missing persons. Some of the cases are ones you may not have heard of.
Other cases we cover are some of the most historic in true crime. There are 200 episodes of Criminology available to binge on right now. And new episodes come out every Saturday night.
Subscribe to Criminology today, wherever you listen to your podcast.
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call, I talk to one of them, they stay anonymous, I can't hang up, that's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today, Beautiful Anonymous.
Oh, Freddie. Okay, during his lifetime, when Freddie was living, there were no acknowledged illegitimate children that came from his many, all capital letters, for years and years and years, many affairs. However, moving up the bus a little bit, in 1994, way after Frederick, it was first reported that King Frederick VII had fathered a son with one of his mistresses. Her name was Elsie Maria Guldborg Peterson. She's also known as Marie Poulsen. This child's name was Frederick Carl Christian Poulsen. In 2009, a woman claiming to be the great-granddaughter of Frederick VII published a book. In it, she publishes four letters from King Frederick to Marie Poulsen in which he acknowledges the child is his. Although it seems likely this is true, it really would not have made any difference in the line of succession since illegitimate children were not allowed to inherit the throne anyway. But when you throw a little twist in, it's not just women that Frederick likes.
Hmm. So this may be why Caroline described him as bizarre. And her name was Caroline, right?
Caroline Marianne. Yeah, it's
Marianne.
It's a lot.
Yeah, poor Marianne.
Okay, so it's widely claimed that Frederick was bisexual. And he had an affair with his friend, Carl Berling. To add to the scandal of that, wait for it, this gets tricky. Carl Berling had an affair with a woman named Louise Rasmussen that resulted in a child.
The morganatic marriage thing.
And it was Louise that becomes Frederick's favored mistress and his third wife, who was the ex-lover of his best friend, Carl, who was Frederick's lover too.
This sounds like something that would be super scandalous if it was known.
Oh, it's scandal.
Oh.
Super scandal. So who is Carl Berling? Carl was the heir of the Berlingske Tidende, also known as the Berlingske. I'm so sorry, Danish friends. Yes. I'm so, so sorry. I'm not going to even try to pronounce that again because I feel like I'm just slaughtering it. But what is that? It's the oldest Danish newspaper, still published today. One of the oldest newspapers in the world. Maybe it's Berlingsk. Anyway, this paper, first published in 1749, still going strong.
Wow.
The Berling family owned the newspaper until 1982.
Wow.
So what's Carl up to? Carl, at the time, is co-managing the company with his mom after his father's death, which happened in 1824. Under their management, the paper became extremely popular, very widespread. It was published two times a day, starting in 1844. It is in the 1830s that Carl becomes friends with Crown Prince Frederick, when Crown Prince Frederick actually becomes Frederick VII, King, in 1848, Frederick appoints his BFF and lover, Carl, as his private secretary, counselor of state, and eventually also treasurer general.
Access journalism for the win, I guess.
Right? Carl was a trusted member of the king's court and plays a significant role, not only in his royal duties, but Frederick's personal life as well. Carl was known to be bisexual, but was in an ongoing relationship with Louise Rasmussen, with whom he had a son. These three, Freddie, Carl, Louise, all become very close, and it was assumed by many that the three were all romantically involved with each other.
My eyes are huge.
Frederick is so fond of Carl and Louise's son that Frederick insists on signing the new constitution into law on the child's 8th birthday. This is June 5th, 1849.
And did this raise any eyebrows?
Tongues wagging,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. In 1849, Carl was named Chamberlain. New promotion. The honors and appointments continue for Carl. And by 1858, he had been given all awards and distinctions from the king, everything available, including the very highest award, the Grand Cross of the Order of Dannebrog.
Probably how that's pronounced.
He cannot get any more honors, Carl. Right. He's got them all.
Right.
He's got a whole, like, every honor Freddie could give Carl, he's got.
Yeah, I'm imagining one of those, like, you know, dictators of a tiny country where they're in a military uniform just covered in medals.
Covered. Well, I mean, this is by 1858. Carl had gotten everything, but let me tell you what happens in 1850 when King Frederick marries Louise and all of them, including Carl and the kid, move into the royal castle all together.
Boy.
This definitely started the wagging tongues and raised eyebrows.
I guess it helped all of them out a lot that Carl ran the main newspaper, so it was definitely going to limit what the public could know.
What's reported, right? All right, let's talk about Louise for a minute. This is going to be Frederick's third marriage to Louise Rasmussen. Countess Danner is her official title. Little Louise Christine was born April 21st, 1815. Her mother was an unmarried maid. In 1826, Louise was admitted to the Royal Theatre Ballet School to train for the Royal Danish Ballet. Talented dancer, after finishing, Louise receives a contract with the Royal Danish Ballet in 1830 and becomes a member of their ballet corps.
Well, this is meritocracy stuff. I'm for it.
Little bit. In 1841, Louise will have a son with Frederick's friend and lover, Carl Berling. The child was named Carl Christian Berling, and this made childbirth, being a professional ballerina, a bit difficult. So Louise retires from the ballet in 1842 and opens a clothing store. To go back to answer your question here, Stacy, the relationship trashy triangle of Carl and Louise and King Frederick was a very poorly kept secret in Denmark's aristocratic circles. No one ever doubted that Louise was the king's favored mistress. Frederick does not try to hide that. However, the sexual relationship between Carl and the king was not publicly acknowledged or spoken about.
I'm sure. But you're saying that his inner circle was aware.
Well, it's a little flavor of threesome like Edwina and Louie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Like, just join us. We got extra cocktails and cheese. Come to bed. I don't know. All right. Frederick and Louise do marry August 7th, 1850. It was a morganatic marriage.
And he became king in 48, so he's the monarch now.
Correct. Okay. So he can kind of do what he wants to. And we've talked about morganatic marriages before. It's often referred to as a left-hand marriage. It's a marriage between people of unequal social rank.
Right, because she was a commoner of... from commoners.
Which kind of means any kids born from that marriage are not in the line of succession.
Mm-hmm.
This marriage, morganatic even so, caused a great deal of outrage and moral indignation among the Danish people, especially the nobility. Frederick gives his new wife, Louise, the title of Countess Danner. Louise initially is hated. I'm going to say widely disliked, but hated. They think she is a seductress, she's a harlot, and the worst thing of all, gold digger. Louise gets a really bad reputation.
I'm surprised, given that I guess one of her lovers, again, ran the main newspaper.
Listen to what happens.
Seems
though.
Like they would have been able to give her a glow up.
Well, Louise initially comes on the scene at this marriage. I mean, she's been with Carl for a good decade. Like, come on, there's no big surprises, but she's a gold digger. She's a harlot. She's a seductress. But on the other hand, it was widely acknowledged by a lot of people what a good influence Louise is on Freddie. She's got a real stabilizing effect on the boisterous and chaotic Freddie, different than his previous self. Louise also encourages Frederick to get out and meet the actual people of Denmark, which eventually results to an increase in Frederick's popularity as well as Louise's. She's not a terrible wife.
So she would encourage him to go to the Windsor farm shop?
Yes.
That sort of thing. Okay, good for
get
her.
Get out. Get among the people.
Good for her. Take some selfies. Yes.
All right. So let's go ahead. I want to wind down Frederick VII. Those are his marriages. Before we make it to your modern day ruler, let's talk about what happens and the historical impact of the succession crisis. Because despite being married three whole times, King Frederick VII had failed to produce a legitimate heir to the Danish throne. This causes a small issue in the line of succession.
As it would.
The next in line to the throne was Frederick's second cousin. This is Prince Christian of Glücksburg.
Good thing they named him that.
Prince Christian of Glücksburg was a paternal descendant of Christian III of Denmark and a maternal descendant of King Frederick V of Denmark. He, Prince Christian of Glücksburg, was named heir presumptive in 1852. So Frederick married Louise, gaining in popularity. Everything goes great until November 15th, 1863, when Frederick VII dies of erysipelas.
What is that?
Which is a bacterial infection of the blood vessels in the skin.
Wow.
Sounds unpleasant.
It does not sound fun.
Frederick VII shuffles off this mortal coil again in 1863 at the age of 55. Prince Christian, his second cousin, will now take the throne as Christian IX. This may sound like the normal succession to a throne when the ruler has no direct heir. But the significance of this choice, of this somewhat obscure second cousin of Frederick VII, will go on to have a great impact on the future of many European royal families. Let's dish this out. This is really fun. Prince Christian of Glücksburg did not begin life with the certainty of becoming a king or even having any kind of significant role in European politics. Prince Christian was born April the 8th in 1818. He was the sixth child and fourth son of, as I take a very deep breath, Frederick Wilhelm, the Duke of Schleswig-Holstein-Sonderburg-Beck, and Princess Louise Caroline of Hesse-Cassel.
Did they call her Marianne?
Being the fourth son in any royal family is not a promising position. You're going to be in charge of
anything. You're not going to inherit anything. Okay, go ahead. But here we go.
No one could have predicted that when Prince Christian was named heir presumptive to the throne of Denmark, that his children would marry into all, A-L-L, all of the royal families of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. He is the great-great-grandfather of 6 of the 10 current European monarchs. 6. Who are they? King Charles III of the United Kingdom, King Frederick X mm-hmm. of Denmark, King Harald V of Norway, King Philippe VI of Spain, Philippe, King of the Belgians, and Grand Duke Henri of Luxembourg. 2 former monarchs are also his direct descendants. This mm-hmm. would be the late King Michael of Romania and the late King Constantine of Greece.
Hmm.
Big deal. So how, if you're asking, did the sixth child and fourth son, a prince of a small German duchy, become known as the father-in-law of Europe? Well,
daughters. Daughters.
He and his wife. Yep. The answer is daughters. He and his wife, Louise of Hesse-Cassel, and eventual Queen of Denmark, had 6 children. Those 6 children would all marry into the major dynastic families of Europe. Let's go ahead and break those kids down for just a moment, because we've seen so many of these characters in our cast before.
Sure.
Kiddo number 1 of Christian the 9th and Louise is the eldest son, Frederick. He will become Frederick the 8th of Denmark, soon to be king.
Makes sense.
Child number 2, their eldest daughter, we know her. Her name is Alexandra.
Dirty Birdie's wife?
You got it. Mm-hmm. She is going to go on to marry the Prince of Wales, who we affectionately know around here as Dirty Birdie, and Alexandra will become the Queen of England when Birdie becomes King Edward VII. Child number 3 is another son, William, who would become George I, King of the Hellenes. Child number 4, a daughter, Dagmar. Dagmar will go on to marry Tsar Alexander III and become Maria Fedorovna, Empress of Russia.
Hmm.
What? Child number 5 is another daughter, Thyra, who would marry Ernest Augustus, Crown Prince of Hanover, and she will become the Crown Princess of Hanover. Their last child, a son, Valdemar, would marry Princess Marie d'Orléans. Through these marriages, Christian the 9th of Denmark, you ready for this, would have 39 grandchildren.
Hmm.
So we've heard about Queen Victoria, Grandmama of Europe. Let's talk about Grandpapa of Europe. It's Christian the 9th of Denmark.
Right. Father-in-law of Europe. Yeah.
These grandchildren rule Denmark, Greece, Norway, Russia, and the United Kingdom. Some of Christian the 9th's grandchildren, Prince Albert Victor of England, King George V, Queen Maud of Norway, Tsar Nicholas, Christian the 10th, Constantine the 1st, and Prince Andrew, father of Prince Philip.
Mm.
Yeah. Whoa, so much. There's one delightful little story about King Christian the 9th, because he apparently is like the greatest guy ever. Just unassuming, jolly old chap. One day, Christian and his son, William, who is George the 1st of Greece, and the husbands of 2 of his daughters go for a walk, and they encounter a Danish man along the way. And he asked who they were. Christian responds, "I am your king. This is my son, the king of Greece, and this is my son-in-law, the Tsar of Russia, and my other son-in-law, the Prince of Wales." And the man looked at the group skeptically and said, "All right, I'll tell you who I am. I'm Jesus Christ." Kind of unbelievable.
I get the impression that Danes just aren't into whatever that would be.
The father-in-law of Europe, Christian the Nine. So that takes us through Freddie the Seven, his two failed marriages, his morganatic marriage with Louise, his scandalous trashy love triangle with Louise and Carl, and the succession crisis, getting it to Christian the Nine. Mm-hmm. We're going to take another quick break here, and when we come back, you are taking over.
We're going to fast forward in our time machine to current day, basically.
I love it. We're going to see you on the flip, friends. Our TARDIS has taken a real banging on this particular journey. Stacey, catch us up with what is going on in Denmark.
Absolutely. So, Alicia, amidst the wild drama that is currently hanging over Britain's House of Windsor, I have managed to find a bright spot, although not an unblemished one, in contemporary European monarchy. In 2024, there are 12 European nations and principalities that maintain constitutional monarchies. And in her New Year's Eve address to the Danish people, Queen Margrethe II, again, the nomenclature descendant of, and I guess actual descendant of Margrethe back in the day, queen but not crowned, anyway, announced that she would abdicate the Danish throne on January 14th of this year, after 52 years as the head of state of Denmark.
Long time.
Very long time. Margrethe II has been a wildly popular monarch in Denmark. She is incredibly intelligent. She is stylish. She has a passion for archaeology and painting. She illustrated Danish editions of The Lord of the Rings.
You're kidding.
Like, J.R.R. Tolkien really liked her paintings and was like, we're super simpatico on what this would look like. So knock yourself out.
I had no idea.
She has collected several screenwriting credits for
what?
Danish films. She has also handled set design for several films. And she has done costume design for the Royal Danish Ballet, which Louise Rasmussen was part of centuries back.
Look at all this free time you have if you're in a constitutional monarchy instead of an absolute monarchy.
100%. In the British tabloids, Margrethe was known as the ashtray queen because she's also a chain smoker. But Danes identified thoroughly with her authenticity and her eccentricity and her, like, she really was quite stylish. She loved wearing bright colors. She's just fun, I think, is sort of how the people viewed her.
I love her.
Her son, now King Frederick X of Denmark, had a rebellious streak when he was a young man and built a reputation as a party prince in the early part of his life. There were a lot of comparisons to Prince Harry.
Ah, okay.
I guess mostly in the British press. I don't think the American press has much coverage of the Danish royals. Maybe we should. Frederick was born May 26th, 1968, and to your point about Christian the Ninth and all that, Frederick is a fifth-generation descendant of Queen Victoria, grandmother of Europe, as well as a fifth-generation descendant of King Christian the Ninth, Victoria's contemporary,
wow,
and father-in-law of Europe. He has a younger brother, Prince Joachim, and they were a bit of a nightmare as teenagers, young men. Fast living, fast cars, nightclubs, concerts, that kind of thing.
Playboy princess.
At the age of 20, Frederick broke his collarbone and required stitches to his head when he swerved off the road in the south of France in an effort to avoid an oncoming car, perhaps.
Wow.
His brother was with him, although the reports that I saw did not mention whether Joachim was injured as well. Just not important, not the crown prince. He also reportedly had an intense relationship with a lingerie model named Katja Storkholm in the late 90s.
Perfect.
It's said that he proposed to her, but his mother put a kibosh on the romance because Danish royal tradition dictates that the family marry non-Danish partners, maybe because of Freddie Seven's difficulties.
So let me give you a little bit on here.
Okay.
Danish royals, they like you to marry foreigners. It is not a rule. It is instead a recommendation. Certainly, Danish royals have married other Danish folks, although a Danish king has not married another Dane since the 1800s when Frederick VII married commoner Louise Rasmussen.
That's interesting.
Who, again, will receive the title Countess Danner. She is not ever queen.
Mm-hmm.
Louise is not the queen. So, again, more of a recommendation than a rule, but I can't imagine that Queen Margareta is real hep on her son marrying a lingerie model to be the new queen.
That was my thought. Like,
not
what
that there's anything wrong with that as a job, but
what a handy rule or tradition to be able to pull out of your
recommendation,
pocket.
Recommendation, babe. Recommendation.
Margareta herself was married to a French diplomat who was known to chafe at his secondary role in the marriage and in the monarchy. He insisted before his death, I think he died in 2017 or 2018, that he did not want to be buried beside his wife.
Oh.
He was ultimately cremated. In any event, after Katya, Frederick was linked to a Danish pop singer named Maria Montell. He enjoyed the nightlife in Copenhagen and beyond, and he was known in the press as the Casanova Crown Prince. And that's going to...
Casanova Crown Prince?
That's going to come back around.
Okay.
Surprisingly. He's also the first Danish royal to complete a university education in the modern sense, I'm
really?
Sure.
Really? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
He studied political science at Aarhus University, I believe is how that's pronounced. The course of study included a year at Harvard, where he enrolled as Frederick Henriksen, so he could have some anonymity. He lived in a rent-controlled apartment during his time there and seemingly enjoyed just being a regular guy.
So he's just slumming around Harvard. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows that he's the future king. He's just Freddy?
Yeah, Freddy.
All right.
Freddy H.
Hey, Fred, you want to go get some pizza at the square?
In Denmark, he had really struggled with the press attention. Because, again, he likes going to clubs. He likes going to concerts. He, like, one time as an adult, he jumped up on stage at one of his friend's band's concerts and did a harmonica solo.
Perfect.
He's just, you know. Anyway, he had no such, you know, press gawking trouble in America. He did a stint at the Danish UN mission in New York and then trained in all three of Denmark's military service branches. While doing the equivalent of Navy SEAL training, his wetsuit tore and filled with water. So by the time he came out of the water, like, the wetsuit was just full and he could just waddle. And so everyone took to calling him Pingo, like penguin.
Pingo. Mm-hmm. Aww. Mm-hmm.
So relatable kind of guy. He was apparently quite serious about his military service and really grew into himself there in his 20s. He's definitely an avid outdoorsman as well. At 18, he took part in an expedition to Mongolia. And in his early 30s, and I just have to assume that one must deeply hate themselves to do this, he did a 2,200-mile skiing challenge in Greenland amid bitterly cold temperatures, and it took 4 months. So,
just for fun?
Just for fun. He's completed an Ironman triathlon and has run marathons around the world. His personal best is 3 hours, 22 minutes, and 50 seconds. He also skis, he races sailboats, he races dragon boats, which I gather is a specific type of boat. And these endeavors have had their downside. He has been hospitalized several times after accidents while engaging in, you know, avid outdoorsman type things. And in 2016, I mean, this almost feels embarrassing given all the other things he's done. He broke his back while trampolining with his son.
Oh, Pingo.
Can you imagine being, like, the paramedics who arrive for that call and, like, the crown prince is, like, laying in the backyard, hopefully, off the trampoline? And anyway, it was in 2000 that Frederick would meet his future queen at a bar in Sydney, Australia. This is Mary Donaldson, who had grown up in Tasmania. She was 28. She had a background in the advertising industry. At the time of the meeting, she was working as a sales director for a luxury real estate firm in Sydney. And this particular evening, Mary was at the Slip Inn pub with her flatmate and a friend. And a fierce debate broke out amongst them over whether a man was more attractive with a hairy chest or not.
Oh, interesting. These are the good times in Tasmania.
Yes. Yeah. In Sydney. Nearby, a group engaged this conversation. And entirely unbeknownst to Mary, this group was Crown Prince Frederick of Denmark.
Huh.
He just introduced himself as Fred. They
sure.
shook hands. His brother, Prince Joachim.
Oh, my God.
His cousin, Prince Nikolaos of Greece, Princess Martha Louise of Norway, and Prince Felipe of Spain.
So it's like Christian the Ninth. This is my son-in-law, the king.
Yep.
This is, oh, my God.
Just hanging
so
out.
So you have five royals just chilling out in Sydney at the Slip-In.
Yeah, the Olympics were happening and
oh my God.
Just hanging out in a bar like normal folks do. Anyway, Fred, Joachim, and Nikolaus, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, offered to bare their chests to help settle this burning chest hair debate.
Gentlemen. Perfect.
Gentlemen. There may have been some pints involved. I'm not sure. Fred was instantly taken with Mary. She was not as all in as he was. Like, he says it was love at first sight for him. And she's like, well,
I saw your chest, dude. Yeah.
But she did give him her number that night. And he called her the very next day. No 3-day rule
for
royals,
I guess. Good job, Freddie. Good job.
By then, like, after they had finished their conversations, somebody at the pub had already come over and been like, do you know who you were just talking to? And
she was like, Fred, so, with the hairy chest.
Right, yes. Crown Prince Fred. Apparently he has the smooth chest.
Oh, good. Yes. Okay.
So they began discreetly seeing each other. Fred would fly back and forth. I'm sure she did, too. They kept their relationship under wraps for more than a year, though. The Danish press did finally suss it out in November of 01. They would go public in early 2002 while Mary was living in Paris teaching English. I have to think she made that move to limit the commute time.
Maybe be a little closer,
Sydney
yeah.
is very far away from everywhere. So. Anyway, she moved to Denmark later in 02. She did some consulting for Microsoft Business Solutions in Copenhagen, like the partners of royals do. Frederick proposed on a trip to Rome, and the couple married on May 14th, 2004, in Copenhagen, to the absolute delight of both Danes and Aussies, as you can imagine.
Queen Mary of Australia.
Mary is the first Australian to become a queen in Europe. And the couple's 4 children indicate that the relationship has had some seriously good times, but also bad times.
Oh no.
And when we come back from a quick break, we'll take a look at the full sweep of it, at least what's known or rumored to be known to the public.
Time to get trashy. Back in a minute. Stacey, what happens? What happens? I was so invested. It can't get trashy.
So, oh, yeah. Well, it's trashy royals. There were reports, for instance, that Frederick had remained close to Katja, the lingerie model.
All the way back, who he couldn't marry because she's a Dane? Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Yeah, because she's a Dane. And that early in the marriage, Mary felt a bit like Princess Diana being a third person in the marriage.
Uh-oh. Have you met my relatives? Freddie, Carl, and Louise. Wow.
So while Frederick was, you know, successfully adulting in life, he was still a party prince to the point that in 2008, Mary herself once ejected him from a nightclub in the Danish town of Skagen when he got drunk and boorish, I assume. The following month, he was kicked out of a club in Beijing at 3 a.m. after grabbing a pair of bunny ears that a waitress was wearing. It was a Playboy Mansion-themed party. He was at Burning Man in 2014.
Sure he was.
Maybe more times than that, but this is the one that I could find documented. Where, of course, the Crown Prince of Denmark went by the name of Hamlet.
That was his Burning Man name?
That was his Burning Man name. And okay. Dressed in a flower-embroidered kilt, a gold waistcoat, a necklace, and a pair of motorcycle goggles, like you do. In 2017,
wow!
At the tender age of 49, he was denied entry to a bar in Brisbane, Australia, because he forgot his ID.
Oh my God.
He is frequently described as baby-faced. This is accurate. I mean, he's a young-looking guy. And Mary is often compared to Catherine, Princess of Wales, Duchess of Cambridge, I don't know which of her titles, Kate Middleton, for her looks and style. Interestingly, as his mother aged, Queen Margrethe repeatedly insisted that the monarchy was a lifelong role and that she would never abdicate the throne. In 2012, she told the press, quote, I will remain on the throne until I fall off.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And she noted that there's just no modern custom of abdication in the Danish monarchy. The last king to abdicate was King Eric III in the year 1146.
Wow.
So, you know, her father, her grandfather had both served out their lives on the throne, and she expressed that she felt duty-bound to do the same. So it came as a significant shock to the country when she announced at the close of 2023 that, quote, time had taken its toll and that after a significant back surgery earlier in 2023, she felt that now was a good time to pass the torch to the next generation. But there was speculation that there may have been other motives in play. You see, in November, Frederick reignited the whole Casanova Prince moniker when he flew to Spain and appeared to have a date with a socialite and reality TV star whose actual name is Genoveva Casanova.
No.
Oh, yeah. Genoveva denied any sort of romantic relationship, explaining that Frederick had initially intended to visit a Picasso exhibit in Madrid with a buddy who's a mutual friend, but, oh, the friend couldn't make it, and she had just generously stepped up to fill in, and reports that he had spent the night at her apartment were completely, completely wrong.
It was all altruistic. She was just helping him out. Yeah.
You know, the crown prince and their mutual friend, whose babysitter canceled.
Who can miss the Picasso exhibit?
I mean,
Come on.
Hmm? Frederick's people just said that they don't respond to rumors and innuendo. And maybe that would have been all of it, except that Mary was then photographed at a New Zealand airport not long after, seeming to cry as she bid farewell to friends.
Oh.
And earlier that day, she had posted to Instagram what many saw as a cryptic statement on loneliness. So she has a foundation. Obviously, royals today are deeply philanthropic. So this was posted to her Mary Foundation account. Time is a peculiar thing. The more years you have covered, the faster the next year seems to pass by. At the same time, you become more and more aware of how precious every moment and every year is. Now Christmas is at the door. At the Mary Foundation, we will soon close 2023 and go on Christmas break with gratitude for all that we humans can do when we do it together. We need each other if we want to succeed. And this does not only apply to working life and to those of us who work to combat social isolation. It applies to all of us. People need people. With the warmest wishes for a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Wow. All right, Mary.
So I think the affair rumors were less catastrophic in Denmark than they would have been here or in the UK.
Well, Denmark's practically France. Who cares? I'm just kidding.
People did care. I mean, Frederick and Mary are one of those couples where she is actually a little bit more popular with the public than he is. They're both quite popular, like in the 80 percentile approval. But she's a few points above him. So there were certainly people who were upset on her behalf and interpreting her body language in this period as proof that Frederick had done something deeply hurtful to her. And, you know, given how profoundly ill we've all become on social media these days, it was unsurprising that when Queen Margrethe announced her abdication, the instant reaction was that she was leaving the throne to deflect from the cheating rumors or to save her son's marriage or both.
Interesting.
On its face, that strikes me likely as nonsense, but I mean, who knows at the end of the day? I honestly have no idea what it must be like to be a monarch and to potentially have a cheating scandal among the crown prince's family to deal with.
Do you think Queen Margrethe and Queen Elizabeth II were good friends? Do you think they were like phone buddies?
I think they were close, yeah.
Yeah, because that would be like, of course, be my bosom friend to call and talk to.
Right.
Because who else would understand you? We've got the same situation. We've been on the throne a really long time. We have a son. We have an heir presumptive.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Although Queen Elizabeth II passed away in September of 2022. So at the time of this scandal, Margrethe had no other reigning queen to call. She was the last reigning queen in Europe.
Mm.
Reading about how the transfer of power happens in Denmark made me think that one of the Windsor's problems is that the endless need for pomp and circumstance just makes them prone to melodrama. Check this out. On January 14th, 2024, 52 years to the day since her father died and she became queen, Margrethe met with Denmark's Council of State and Cabinet Ministers at Christiansborg Palace, where, seated at the head of a long table, she signed her decree of abdication. Then she stood and offered the seat that she had been sitting in to the new king, who had been sitting to her right, and he took it, while now Crown Prince Christian, because they're always Frederick or Christian.
Right.
Frederick's eldest son took the seat to his right. Margrethe intoned in Danish, "God save the king," and then quickly exited, visibly emotional.
I got a painting class to attend. Out.
I got a painting class to teach.
Right.
Afterward, Frederick and his family would go to a balcony of the palace where Denmark's prime minister formally proclaimed him king three times in front of a crowd of tens of thousands. This is the traditional way this is done. And the crowd then responded with the traditional ninefold cheer. Basically, they all go, ooh, nine times.
Okay.
There's video.
Perfect.
It's nice. That's it, though. There's no elaborate crowning ceremony. There are no relics to be bandied about. There are no historical costumes required.
There are no parades or glass carriages.
Queen Mary then joined him on the balcony with a kiss. The crowd went wild. And then the four children emerged.
Huh.
That was it.
Easy afternoon. Let's go inside and have some sandwiches, guys.
Yeah. I mean, they do have historically, like, they maintain crowns and scepters and all of that stuff, but those are only brought out when a monarch dies.
Oh.
And the crown is placed on the coffin. Like, it's a ritualized thing. There are places where each piece of the, like, royal regalia goes, but that constitution that Freddie VII signed got rid of, like, a bunch of...
The pomp and circumstance.
The pomp and circumstance that has turned the Windsor family into this, like, ongoing melodrama again. There were also celebrations at the Slip Inn pub in Sydney.
Perfect.
Perfect. As well as all over Tasmania, where the Danish flag was flown over City Hall in Mary's hometown. I think that's Hobart. Congratulations, Australia. You have your first European queen.
Gotta love it.
So Alicia does a crown, metaphorical in this case, because as noted, discontinued in the 19th century, heal all wounds. Does it fix a marriage? Does this marriage even need fixing? I don't think any of us can know. And particularly as an American, I struggle to understand the role of monarchies in the 21st century. I just don't think we in the U.S. have any comparable symbolism of national identity and duty to nation personified this way. We don't do that. But Denmark's monarchy remains incredibly popular there, and Frederick and Mary are both committed to keeping it grounded and relevant for Danes, focusing on issues like climate change and human rights around the world, and hopefully, avoiding the type of tawdry speculation that their cousins in London and Windsor have unleashed upon themselves in recent weeks.
Quite a different story, isn't it?
Yes.
Denmark, what a ride. That was a lot of history.
I love it. This guy is so low-key. Like, I think they genuinely do, like, a lot of their own shopping. And they genuinely do like to go out in the evenings and socialize.
Well, it seems like a much lower-key monarchy, right? Yeah. Like, okay, no pomp, no circumstance. Mm-hmm. Let's just do some illustrations for Tolkien. Like, it's perfect. I love it. What a ride. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you for Freddie VII.
Of course. Y'all, that's Trashy Royals today. We went a little bit long, but we did want to go to someplace completely different, which was Denmark. We are going to be back with you next week. Same trashy channel, same trashy place. Thank you one and all for tuning in today, for telling your friends not only about Trashy Royals, but Trashy Divorces and Done and Done Too. We really are thrilled that you're here with us and we get to do this for you. Y'all are simply the best.
Absolutely. So, friends, until we meet again, I hope that you will polish up your crown.
I hope you keep your eye on that throne, because, goodness, it changes so frequently around here. Everybody have a tremendous rest of the week. Big love, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.